One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org. One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org.
Hey, it's Tony Bruschi. If you enjoy this podcast, Real Ghost Stories Online, be sure to check out our other paranormal podcast, The Grave Talks, with new episodes every Monday and Tuesday. Just search The Grave Talks wherever you download podcasts. Now, here's a 15-minute preview of one of this week's episodes of The Grave Talks. Today on The Grave Talks, investigating the dead. From a very young age, Bill Cook had run-ins with the paranormal. Ghostly encounters involving a small ball randomly rolling across the room. To unexplained voices being heard late at night. Strange and bizarre experiences would find Bill in his formative years. Like discovering a room in a new house filled with dismembered and disfigured dolls. Long forgotten by the previous owner. All of this would lead him to question the existence of the supernatural and paranormal, eventually putting him on a quest to find answers to who and what may be haunting the world and environments we all share today.
Well, I guess it started when I was a child. We grew up in a house that was built in 1900, and I had four siblings. So on weekends and summer, you know, we'd stay up late playing cards and different games and stuff. And one night as we were sitting there in a circle playing cards in the floor, a ball rolls in from the other room and nobody was in that room. So that was the first big spark that kind of was like, what just happened? You know, So I wanted to try to figure out, you know, where that came from, how it happened. And, you know, that kind of started the journey. And in the same house, as I was a teenager, I had a nephew that was 2 years old at the time. And we had a coat closet when you first walked in the front door. Antique mirrors, they were already spooky looking mirrors because the backing was starting to peel off a little bit. So the edges were, you know, just creepy looking because it was old. And he would always talk about the man in the mirror, and he would have conversations just looking at the mirror, talking to something, and it was very strange. So those were my first really two experiences that I had that kind of started the journey of being interested in paranormal and trying to find out if there was, you know, something to the other side.
Sure. Tell me more about that house. I mean, I'm sure it's something that you look back upon and you had those experiences. And as an adult, you go, wow, I mean, wonder what was that? Why did I have those experiences there? Was there something about the house? Paint the picture of the house for us. What sort of history you know about it? And, you know, what, you know, if anything, sometimes you make these discoveries or you dig and you don't really find a whole hell of a lot. But what did you find? You know, because I'm sure you went down that path a little bit. Of what was the story of the house that you found?
Well, we actually lived about a block away, and my parents bought this house, and it was just an old house that was fairly large. Like I said, I had four siblings, so we needed a lot of room, and they bought this house, and myself and my siblings were all like, oh geez, we're embarrassed because this house was ran down, and it was a two family at the time. Well, we bought it and converted it back into a one family. And you know, so we didn't realize that we were going to fix it up before we moved into it. But we ended up renovating the entire house and did all the drywall and all kinds of work. And we found a whole bunch of creepy dolls in the basement. Some of them had their head shaved. Some of them were missing arms and legs. Some of them were hanging from the rafters. Very interesting experience, but I guess there was a strange gentleman that lived on the second floor of the house, because, you know, it was like a first floor apartment and a second floor apartment when it was split. And so I guess it was some of the stuff he had in the basement, and it was just really spooky and creepy, you know. The house, you know, after you moved in and got used to it, it wasn't as creepy as it was, you know, when you first saw how the house looked. But, you know, it was the type that had push button on off switches, you mm-hmm. know, like the old type. It just was like a little circle. You'd hit the top button for on and the bottom button for off.
Yep.
And, the hallway going to the upstairs and the upstairs hallway actually had, like a wainscoting the halfway up, but it was leather, and it had like a print pressed into it. Very strange, you know. It was like something out of The Shining or something. You know, after we got in there and cleaned it up and did all the work to it, it was a very nice place to live. There were still some strange things that happened. You know, my brother and I would just be up late and stuff, and we would hear noises and some unexplained things. One night we were messing around looking into a picture frame, and we almost saw it, what we thought we saw, somebody looking back at us through the picture frame, which was pretty interesting. And of course we ran off to our rooms and hid under the blankets for the night.
And that's understandable. I mean, just the atmosphere of what you're describing, even if there was nothing going on, you could almost assume that children being children would almost, you know, have nightmares or conjure up the idea that something's going on just with an environment like that. I want to go back to the dolls in the basement for a moment, because that just sounds insane. <You know? laughs> I mean, it sounds, you know, like the beginning of, you know, every serial killer or movie or something, not even movie, but or factual account of what, you know, some people were doing, like BTK and things of that nature with the dolls. Obviously, this is prior to the days of Instagram and Facebook and social media and selling haunted dolls and creepy dolls being a thing.
Right.
You know, keep in mind, I mean, that's an interesting perspective, because those of us over the age of 30 have a remembrance of the world where there wasn't a niche outlet that was acceptable for every bizarre, fucked up thing in the world
right.
as a marketable source of income. And now there's a marketable source of income if you're into making strange and creepy dolls. And you could totally do it. So anyone who's listening going, well, maybe they were just selling them on Instagram. No, that wasn't a thing. So I'm wondering, you know, that just it's bizarre. You said that the gentleman who had the other apartment at the time or prior to you guys getting there was known as being kind of odd or
extended. It was just a strange guy. Like, you could tell just by the way that he lived, because there, you know, the second floor was his apartment. So one of the bedrooms had to be a kitchen, because they had a kitchen, but didn't even have like a stove in it. It just had a two burner, very old gas, like, you know, that you'd just sit your pot on it and the mm-hmm. gas comes through and you light it. So, it, you know, it was strange. There wasn't even a stove on the second floor. So, you know, I mean, that was just another eerie thing, especially when you look in that room that ended up ultimately being my brother's room, which was the kitchen. It was just odd, you know, when you move into a place and you think, oh, well, this was used to be a kitchen. Now it's a bedroom, you know.
I'm wondering, you know, what were those dolls used for? Why were they, you know, dismembered and adjusted and shaved and all of that? I mean, obviously, this, I'm sure, are questions that ran through your mind. I don't know how many answers you ever got to that. But what, I mean, this is a personal question, but or a personal, opinion question. But what have you gathered in your mind? What have you settled on for what the hell was going on with those dolls?
I'm guessing that the guy was probably like a garbage picker, you know, and maybe he went through people's garbage, and when he found the dolls, he just brought them home, is what I'm assuming. I don't know. I mean, that was the only, there was some old newspapers and stuff down there, but I'm just guessing he was a collector of dolls for some reason, you know. Just from what I could gather from the neighbors, the guy was just kind of strange, and he didn't really leave the house that often. So, you know, he must have just went out to grab some dolls and come home, kept them in the basement. He had like a little workshop down there, you know. One of the sections was kind of walled off, and it was his area, I guess, to store things. And there was quite a few dolls down there.
Wow. I'm wondering, is he still around? Do you know? I'm not asking for his name on the air or anything like that, but did you ever do any research as to what his name was, or attempt to look him up to see if he still exists?
I did not. You know, I was like, I was probably about 13 at the time, sure. I think, maybe 12 or 13.
Trying to find that record would be nearly impossible, probably.
Yeah, and this was the, you know, you didn't think about people's names back then, you know?
Sure.
At that age.
Dennis Rader turned out who it was, and you were in Wichita. No, I'm kidding. No, wow. I mean, maybe, you know, nothing necessarily paranormal comes of that, but that's obviously a very unsettling discovery to make in a new home, and then trying to feel comfortable. What were your parents' thoughts on not only the dolls, but overall the experiences that you and your siblings were having in the house?
You know, we didn't really even talk about those experiences until much later, probably like 15 years later.
Yeah.
I don't know if we were embarrassed to talk about it, or we just didn't think that they wouldn't believe us, or you know, think we're trying to pull a joke on them or something, you know. But yeah, we really didn't talk about it. I mean, I'm much more open to talking to my parents now about, you know, different things paranormal, because they like to see and hear the locations and things that we go to and sure. investigate, you know?
Sure.
And they call me and tell me different things that happen. Like, oh, I think I just saw a shadow person, or the radio just turned on and nobody turned it on. You know, those kinds of things happen.
Are they still in the same house, or are they somewhere?
No, they live in a different house now, okay. But my mom does have some strange activity that happens at her house.
So it sounds like they weren't, even 15 years later when you brought this up and you kind of talked about, hey, you know, when we were kids, these sort of things happened. What do you remember? They weren't dismissive.
No. I mean, they're very open to it now. And I think that they probably were. Maybe they knew something was going on, but because it was a new house and, of course, we're kids, they didn't want to draw too much attention to it, you know?
Sure. You know, they didn't want to be the parents of, hey, me and your father think we've been seeing dead people around the house. What do you guys think?
Right.
Right, yeah, after you find the dolls.
I'm like that with my kids. We talk about it, you know?
So. And they'll be calling into a totally different show podcast 20 years from now. Probably more of a therapeutic one, going, Dad used to talk to us about dead people all the time.
Right.
Hope you enjoyed this 15-minute preview of one of this week's two brand new episodes of The Grave Talks. To hear the rest and get new episodes every Monday and Tuesday right in your podcast feed, search The Grave Talks wherever you download podcasts and press subscribe or visit thegravetalks.com.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org. One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets tickets now at cosi.org. One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Cosi. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Cosi starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at cosi.org. One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Cosi. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Cosi starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at cosi.org. One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Cosi. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Cosi starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at cosi.org. One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Cosi. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Cosi starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at cosi.org. One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Cosi. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Cosi starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at cosi.org.